And let's pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come to you now, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable to you. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson today comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Jesus left the place and came to his own hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are his sisters not here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their own hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he had laid his hands on a few people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. And if any will not welcome you, then and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed many with oil who were sick and cured them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I don't know if any of you have heard recently about a particular popular singer. She happens to be touring the world right now, selling out crowds to tens of thousands, tens and tens and tens of thousands, sometimes multiple days in a city, selling out places like Wembley Stadium in England. And she's very popular. Her name happens to be Taylor Swift, that's right. And she has a whole following. They're called Swifties, apparently. And they are a power unto themselves, I hear. She is a little out of my generation of admiration. However, I tap my toe, I'll admit it. I don't always turn the station whenever she comes on. But anyway, a few years ago, early on in her career, she came out with a song, and it was called "Shake It Off." Now, it has been one of her biggest hits. She still sings it in her shows 10 years later. It's an old favorite for her fans, and I'm just going to read the chorus of "Shake It Off." Stop laughing, Jacob. I'm not going to make it through. Okay. Because the player's going to play, 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 play. And the hater's going to hate, 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 hate. Baby, I'm just going to shake it off. I'm just going to shake, 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 shake. I shake it off, shake it off. Heartbreaker's going to break. Break, 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 break. And fakers gonna fake, 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 fake. Baby, I'm gonna shake, 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 shake. I shake it off, shake it off. Now, you're supposed to shake and shake, but we won't do that because we're Presbyterians and we just avoid things like that, right? So Ms. Swift was giving us, though, some age-old wisdom. And she proclaims this to her Swifties, that whenever you are in a place where you are being bullied, where people are dragging you down, what are you supposed to do? You got to say it twice. Shake it off, shake it off. It just feels like you have left something unsaid if you don't put the second shake it off in there. So, you know, in our scripture today, Jesus was echoing that ancient wisdom, or maybe she is echoing Jesus' ancient wisdom there to shake it off. He very literally said, if you find yourself in a place where people are not accepting the good news that you are sharing with them, take your sandals, shake it off, move along. Right? So when we read this passage, we understand that Jesus has come home. He's been baptized. He has been out in the desert. He has gone through all of this. He is now the Messiah doing his work. He has come home to his people. And what have they said to him after he has preached in his hometown pulpit? Look, Jesus, we know who you are. Who do you think you are? Coming home, we remember, we know you. And we don't want to hear this message from you. Because, you know, we remember what you were like. You're one of us, and one of us does not have the right to walk into you. Who do you think you are? You know. He was not accepted. It was not a welcoming home. He hit a little too close to home, because I would imagine that the sermon he was preaching was to people he knew very well and who were just not ready to hear from him what they needed to hear. It's understandable. But Jesus, being Jesus, he was shocked that they didn't believe him, but, you know, he still did what he had to do. He still carried on, and he left them and carried on with his ministry. He did not stop because his people did not accept him. He knew who he was, what he had to do, so he shook it off, and he went on to the next thing, which was to call his disciples, train them up, and then sent them out two by two. Two by two, he sent them out. And he told them, don't take any of the baggage that weighs you down. You know, don't take anything extra. You're going out with the gospel. That's it. And so you're going to rely on the benevolence of others. You're going to go stay in people's houses. If you're welcomed in, you stay there till it's time for you to go. And if you're not welcomed in, well then, be faithful. Dust the dust off of your sandals, shake it off, move on. Because there are other people who need to hear the good news. Now, one of the things that we can understand from this passage is that sometimes the gospel makes us uncomfortable. In his own hometown, the gospel that Jesus was bringing... made the people, for whatever reason, uncomfortable. And it can. It can make it. Sometimes we don't want to hear exactly what Jesus is telling us. We like to have the gospel for us as long as Jesus does not go meddling in our lives. We like the idea of the gospel that everybody, you know, love everybody, we're all forgiven, there's heaven awaiting us. Those are all nice things. But then when Jesus starts to meddle and say, you know, how do you treat your neighbor? When was the last time you really let forgiveness come into your heart? When was the last time you spoke to this person? Why do you hate this person and not, when Jesus starts to get into our lives, it can make us uncomfortable. When Jesus says things like, when you neglect the poor and the homeless and that sort of thing, then you're mistreating me. Ooh, that makes us uncomfortable because we don't want to be challenged that way. It makes us look at our own lives and think, I don't want to do that. It asks a lot of us. It asks a lot of us. And so we would much rather talk about grace and, oh, don't we feel good all of the time? And we have this, and then Jesus, but when was the last time you extended that grace to somebody else? And we go, it makes us uncomfortable. Which it's just the nature of things. When Jesus comes and says, there is a good way, a better way, and a godly way of living that is often in contrast to the way that we've all been trained up to live. It's not all about us. It's about one another. It's about community. And community is about give and take. It's not about what you can do for me. I mean, it's a message we all need to hear. But a lot of times we want someone else to hear it, and then they're going to treat us better. It's challenging. But Jesus, in this passage, comes back around in many ways and says, remember who you are. Be faithful to the call that I've given to you. That's your job. Be faithful. Be faithful to the calling. Remember that you are called to heal, to love, to forgive, to share the good news of the gospel in the way that you live, in the way that you speak, in the way that you interact with people. The reality is it's going to make some people uncomfortable and they're not going to want to hear it. And when that happens, that's okay. Move on. And then you're going to find some people who are ready to hear it. And that's wonderful. You stay there until it's time to move on. Sometimes the church, though, forgets that little bit of the lesson. Sometimes we tend to think in our mindset that people are supposed to get it. People are supposed to want to hear the gospel. People are supposed to accept the gospel. And if they don't, then we don't shake it off. We stay there until they are worn down or they run away from us. We forget that, sometimes it's just not time for everybody to hear it. They're not ready. Our job is to be faithful to the gospel, to share, to live it, to lean into it. And, sometimes people are ready for it, sometimes they aren't, and we can move on. It's just the nature of things. Then there are times whenever Jesus says, stay there until it's time to move on, when people accept the gospel and they're ready to hear it, and stay in their house till it's time for you to move on. Sometimes we don't know when it's time to move on. Sometimes we want to hold on to ministries and programs and things that should have been laid to rest 30 years ago. And we keep working so hard to make them work when we should have just said, okay, it's time for us to move on. This worked for a while. We were good in this place for a while. And now it's something we need to find the next place to be. But we have gotten so comfortable squatting in some, in the life of the church in this little area of time and place, and we idolize it and idealize it, and we think there's no place else for us to go. There's nothing else for us to do. And Jesus is going, you got to be faithful. It's time to move on. I'm calling you to go minister to this next group of folks or this next place to be, you're going to be accepted and spend time there. And then it'll be time to move on and move on. But, you know, many churches, we get stuck. And we forget that we have permission, whenever ministries have run their course, to say, okay, we can move on. We can celebrate what happened there, and then we can move on. There are many challenges that we face as the church. But Jesus' number one call to us first, always, in the middle, in the beginning, in the end, across our relationship with Christ, is for us to be faithful, to serve, to love, to be Christ embodied in this world. And so we don't become stuck. Jesus was a Messiah on the move. Rarely did he stay in one place for too long. So when our ministries come and go, we acknowledge that we are not failures. It's just time to move on. When the world changes some, when demographics change some, and we get all uptight and think, oh my goodness, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be faithful. Follow God's lead. Look around and say, well, where is the next step for us to go? Because God is already preparing that place. The Holy Spirit is already working. And so in our particular church, the session has been, as we know, grappling the last few months with these questions. And I think we're starting to narrow it down. We're gonna get together and we will let you know once we kind of have this sense of being narrowed down and this is really where we think we are going and what we think we are doing. But they have done some of the work and really think and really firmly believe that we are called to be a welcoming place, a safe place for people to be, a place for us to a launching pad for ministries of folks in our midst who want to go out and do good work in the community, but also to figure out how on our own property we can start to welcome people in. Not just to be here on Sunday mornings, but for them to encounter the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love and the grace of God at different times during the week as they come to meet us here. That might be through Bible studies, that might be through small groups meeting elsewhere, that might be through welcoming people in a variety of different community groups who come in. But we want to be a place, says the session. We want to be a place, they say, where people feel welcomed and accepted. Bottom line. As we minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. The same way that we feel comfortable being here, we want anybody who walks through the doors to feel the embrace of Jesus Christ. So what is that going to look like for us? Well, that's a good question. We can make plans for 6 months, which is what we're starting to do, what our 6 months, our 3 years, and our 5 years, and our 10 years, what those steps are going to look like. What is the next ministry we're going to engage with? We are working on bringing those things together. But I can guarantee you that what we think is going to happen, the plans that we make, we will try to be faithful to God in those things. They may take off the way we think they are, or they may just fall flat on their face, or they may start and transform into something completely different. But that's the way it works. We will be faithful. We will be faithful and open to what God is calling us to do. We will be faithful to the good news of the gospel, which is that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. And so we will open ourselves up to try new things. And some of those new things will, as I said, not work. But as we look at that, we must look at it as not as a failure, but just God telling us, look, shake the dirt off of that one. You know, you tried, good for you, but that really wasn't where I was leading you. And it's, just go a little farther and you'll find the place you should be for a time. And then we will rest there until it's time to move on. But that is the beautiful dynamic of the Holy Spirit, that as we change and grow, the Holy Spirit is there changing and growing us, opening new doors, closing old ones, leading us on, giving us rest when we need it. But our job, like those disciples early on, is to remain faithful. To remain faithful. Face the challenges and know that even as those challenges arrive, we're not abandoned. That God is with us. And we have the joy and the excitement and the adventure of serving God together. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful that you lead us, that you are always with us, that you open our eyes to new possibilities, that you give us the gifts we need in the time that we need them, so we may be your church present, doing the work that needs to be done in our community and in the world. In Christ we pray. Amen.